The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Nedarim, Daf Mem Vav. Today's Daf is being studied. The Ainu Nishmat Morzekini Yosef Ben Sarah. The Ainu Nishmat Avram Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied for Ashelema. Moshe ben Dina, Sarah bat Rachel, and Shlomo ben Miriam. Enna refanel lahem, enna refanel lahem, enna refanel for the nefesh, for the guf, for atam kerabad abo vechen yirasom and omar. Amen. Begin today's daf on Mem He Amud Bet, starting from the new perek, as well as the new mishnah. Hashutafim shenadru hana'a ze mizeh. So you have two partners that made a neder against each other. Shutafim. So it says, Asurim likanes lehaser. So both are forbidden to enter the courtyard. They're partners in the courtyard. And therefore, since each one now forbids himself to have hana'ah from his friend, so therefore you have Reuven and Shimon, a partner. Reuven says, I'm not going to have Hana'ah from Shimon. Shimon says, I'm not going to have from Reuven. So the Hatzer itself is a shared area. And therefore, Reuven can't walk in the courtyard because he's having Hana'ah from Shimon's part of the courtyard. And Shimon cannot walk in the courtyard as well because of vice versa. Of course, it's a little more detailed than that. We'll see in a moment. But that's basically the case. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Ze nechnas letoch shelo, veze nechnas letoch shelo. Each one walks into their section. They say, how can that be? It's shared. So what do you mean their section? Their section is not designated. So let's go and get some of the details to understand this case, which is really the setup of the Gemara. Number one, why should this be forbidden at all? If anything, this is just walking into the courtyard. Is walking into the courtyard really considered a hana'ah? So normally people don't care about that. That's called dirisat haregel. Nobody really cares about dirisat haregel. Even if I forbid myself from having hana'ah from you, we don't consider that such a hana'ah that you can't walk on my property. Usually people are mevater on that. It's called vitur. However, this Mishnah is following the opinion that even something that's people usually are mevater, they forgive, they don't care, is asur b'mudar hana'ah. So that's why we're even discussing the case where it's forbidden to walk through each other's helek or not. Secondly, the Gemara is going to explain that we're not talking about a chatzer that's a large chatzer. Because if it's a large chatzer, where each one technically has their own section, each one has rights, let's say, to half the chatzer, so there I'm going to say that it's forbidden for the Uven to walk into the chatzer as well as Shimon. In that case over there where it's a big chatzer, and we'll see why. But let's discuss what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about a very small chatzer, where really it's not even divisible. You can't even split it up amongst the two partners. And this case over here is talking about where, like I said, it's a small chatzer. And technically, according to the Bili Ezer, he says, you know what, each one can walk into the chatzer because we're using a concept called berera. What is the concept of berera? Let me just give you an example where berera is used. Literally, berera means to select. Berera is used in a case as follows. Let's say on Yom Tov. You're allowed to make shechita on Yom Tov on an animal. But you have to designate the animal from before Yom Tov that this animal is going to be designated for shechita. Let's say you didn't designate. You have stam an animal. You didn't designate it for anything. So the Berera will hold. If you go with Berera, when you pick that animal out of the herd, I come along and say retroactively, I could say that animal, let's say before Yom Tov, I said one of the animals in the herd is going to be Amnes Shohet. But I didn't say which one. Retroactive, I say when I select this animal, this was the animal that was selected at the time of my yitot, and therefore this is the animal, if I can slaughter it. Kota achemim that say en beredah, said, no, you can't now select the animal, you can't make it now. We don't say retroactively it was selected. But according to the Bidah, you say retroactively was selected. So I say like this. I have this little hatzer, right? Since I knew at the time that I bought it with my partner, that really we both cannot really split it up, because if split up, there's not enough room for two people to split up such a small chatzir. So therefore, it's as if it was like a stipulation that when I walk into the chatzir, it's all mine. And when my partner walks into the chatzir, it's all his. And therefore, now when I make a neder, I'm not going to have an av from Shimon, right? I can't walk in the chatzir according to Bidei Ezer, because I'm going to say, using Bidei, that I'll say at this point right now, it's considered all Reuven's. And when Shimon walks into the field, we'll say at this point, it's considered all Shimon's. And therefore, each one is considered an exclusive owner at the time that he is walking in. Therefore, it's not considered having Hana'ah from each other. Whereas the Hachamim, they have a different sheet. I say, no, we don't go with Berera. And therefore, I don't say that retroactively. I say it works like this, according to Hachamim. You're right. I have half, let's say, of the Hatzir. Even though it's a tiny Hatzir, half it technically belongs to me, but half it's really not worth too much. So I need really rights on the other half to walk through, even generally. So the way the rabbis look at it, they say, I have what's called the She'erbud on the other half, which means I have not ownership, not like going to be in the Eizelens, where the whole thing is mine. No, I have rights on my half, that I own, and then I have rights on the other half, which means my friend cannot stop me from walking in the other half, because bottom line, we're partners, like, you can't use half the Hatzir. So I own, let's say, the goof of half of it, and part of it I have what's called a sha'bud. It's not a lien on it, but I have rights on the other half, because we're partners, really. So I don't own it, but once already I make a ned that I'm not going to have hana'ah from my friend, so therefore, technically, those rights that I have on the other half, I cannot have hana'ah from it. And we don't say that retroactively, that the whole thing is considered mine. Oh, no. It doesn't work with retroactive. The way it works with it is what it is, not right now. Half of it belongs to you, and half of it is other. So technically, on the half that you're walking in, there wouldn't be a problem. But now, once you go past half of it, so that belongs to your friend. That you're right. You have rights to walk in there, but he's giving you those rights. He's giving you those rights. He's giving you hana'ah. So therefore, there's two distinct ways of looking at this hatzir. I'll repeat it to you again, just so you have a clarity. Rabbi Eliezer says, you have this small chatzir. Technically, each guy needs the whole chatzir to benefit from it, because otherwise it's too small. It's like four amot, the whole thing. So you want to have hana'ah, you got to have the whole thing. So he says it's like an understood thing. When the fellow walks in, the uven that is, let's say, I'm going to say that retroactively it was established that the whole chatzir is going to be his at the time when they bought it. The whole chatzir is anytime he walks in. Now, what wasn't clarified yet is when is he going to walk in? That wasn't clarified. When is he going to walk in? So at the time that he walks in, I'm going to say that time was selected, or initially, that's going to be all his. And the same thing with Shimon. So therefore, there's no problem. But that's using Bereira, because I have to say, retroactively, was selected and at this time, when he walks in. The other Shita, Hakamim, they say no. We don't use this concept of Bereira, retroactive selection. They're going to come along and say, listen, bottom line, it's a small little chatzir. So technically, nobody owns the whole thing at any time. Not going to work it like that. The mechanics of it are going to be half of it belongs to the Uven, half of it belongs to Shimon. Okay, so technically, up to half, each one could walk, because, but you can't even walk up to half, because really, you can't use the Hatzir up to half, it's a small Hatzir. So the Uven has his half, and then on the other half, Shimon, his partner, has to give him rights to that, because that's the partnership. So he has what's called a shi'bud. It's like a lien on the other half. He doesn't own the actual half, but he has walking rights. He has whatever rights that he have as a partner. Once already the Uven says, I'm not going to have hana'ah from my partner, so automatically he cannot walk in that other half now, because it's not his. And technically, he can't walk in the whole chatzir, because now which half is his?
Understand which half? You're right, he has half somewhere, but who's half? Maybe it's the other half. I mean, that, and the other half is already, he has a lien on it, his partner owes him, and therefore we don't go with this retroactive business that at the time each one walks in, the whole thing belongs to him. Therefore, the Achamim say is going to be, so that's the way we understand the Mishnah. Mishnah continues. Ushnehem asurim la'amid rehaim v'tanur ulgadel tanegolim. But both Reuven and Shimon, who made this neder, each one against each other, cannot put a rehaim, a millstone, or a tanur is an oven, or let's say to raise chickens in the chatzer. Which means even Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that he was lenient, he was only lenient, let's say, to walk into the chatzer. Each one could walk into the chatzer, because by walking into the chatzer, as partners, no partner can stop the other partner from walking into the chatzer. So really, I look at it as I told you. The whole chatzer is mine when I'm walking in. When he walks in, the whole chatzer retroactively belongs to him at that time. And therefore, no problem. However, when it comes to, let's say, putting an object in the middle of the chatzer, so that already, when we went partners on the chatzer, I didn't go partners with da'at that my partner's going to put something in the chatzer like that. Otherwise, he's taking up the space in the chatzer. I don't want my partner to... So really, he needs my permission to do that. That already, he needs what's called like a consent, because again, it's a small chatzer as it is. Now you're going to put a middle an oven in the middle of the chatzer, you're blocking the whole area. So there you need consent of the other partner. So even the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is going to say that if Reuven, let's say, vows, I'm not going to have an af from Shimon, Reuven cannot put a tanur over there. Because why? Since Shimon has to give him consent, so really he's having an af from Shimon. That's not considered an automatic. Which means on things that are an automatic, like walking in the chatzer, when I'm a partner with my chatzer, I'm going to get permission from my partner if I could, can I walk in my chatzer? We're partners, by the way. Only problem is it's very small. So if I say that retroactively, at the time that we bought it, it was understood that at the time that I walk in, I'm the full owner. That's what Bereira does for me. So if I'm the full owner, no problem. But I'm never the full owner to put a tanur in there. There already, I need my friend, I got to ask him permission. So therefore, even if Shimon comes along and says, okay, put the tanur in there, he's giving me a hana'ah. So I'm binding myself out of hana'ah from Shimon. So the inyan of the selection is not going to help you like putting a furniture or whatever it is in the chatzer itself. Okay, so that's the chiluk in the drisat hareg, walking through or putting a tanur rehai. We continue. Mishnah. Haya echad mem mudar ana'a mechavero. Now the Mishnah goes to another case, which really should not be a chidush, because now it's saying, let's say just one of the partners forbade himself from his friend. Reuven said, I'm not going to have an af from Shimon. So it's a one-way, and neder, right? Lo yikanes lachatzir. Okay, again, according to Hakamim, could not walk into chatzir. Because how do we look at it? Bottom line, at this point, you only own half, and the other half is owed to you, which means you have rights to the other half, and therefore while walking in, you're going to have a hana'am. We don't use the concept of retroactive selection, therefore you cannot walk in. That fellow, Reuven. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov ben Yachod u lomar lo natu shliani nichnas. Rabbi Eliezer says, just as in the first case, Reuven can walk in, and he can say, I'm walking into my own. Because again, using retroactive selection, when Reuven walks in, we'll be saying what? That it was selected retroactively, that at that time that Reuven walks in, it's considered his. Now there's no chidush in this case so far. Because what's the difference between when the two partners did it to each other, or one partner did it? The chidush now is in the next line. Ve'eni nichnas l'toch shekavan. He can say, I'm not going into your part. However, ve'chofin et ha-noder limkor et helko. That's the chidush. The guy that made the neder, we force him to sell his share to his partner. Why? Because of the jealousy factor. What are we concerned? Hey, listen, the guy made a neder on himself. I am not going to have an af from my partner's assets. So now what do they tell Reuven? All right, tell you cannot walk into the chatzer now. You're stuck. Now what does he see his partner doing? Walking in the chatzer, doing whatever he's doing, and all that things. So now the partner gets jealous. Hey, listen, we're partners. He's using the chatzer. I'm not. But he made a neder on himself.
So you know what? This is an unsafe situation from the neder standpoint. Because we're worried Reuven's not going to be able to hold his neder. Because he's just going to want to benefit, so he takes advantage of the partnership. Especially when he sees his partner using the hatzed, he gets jealous. Like, why are you using it? I'm not using it. I mean, you made a neder against yourself. But you know what? He's not going to be able to hold his neder. Because of the jealousy factor. So you know what the Mishnah advises? Reuven, you better sell your share to Shimon. Sell it. Get out of this hasid over here, because we don't want you to break your neder and get into halachic issues over here. Now, it's only a problem in this case where one of the partners made a neder against each other. But in the first case in the Mishnah where both partners made a neder against each other, I'm not worried about the jealousy factor. Because just like Reuven can't walk in the field, Shimon can't walk in the field as well. So therefore, that's not the issue. It's only when one of the two makes a neder against each other where we say he should sell his rights to the other partner so he doesn't fall into the trap. Now, this is worthy. Let's read the Ran over here in this case. The Ran is Haya Echad Mem. It's on the Amud Rishon. A third of the way down. Haya Echad Mem Udara Na'am Mechadero. See that on Mem Vav? Hach Baba. Look at Mem Vav Amud Rishon. Hach Baba, this case, lo istericha, lo the Rabbanan, velo the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The ben lemor, or ben lemor, man li nidro ushenehem, man li nadar echad mem. Which means, in this case over here, there's no difference if both partners made a neder against each other, or one made a neder against each other. It's the same case as the Resha. Ela mishum sefa naktam. But the Hadush is in the end of the case. Dektani vechofin an noded lemkor et halko. That we force Reuven to sell his share. Only when one of them made a neder mishum. Since he's forbidden and his friend is permissible. Again, I'm worried of the jealousy factor. He might be jealous of his friend. And he might use it himself. So he doesn't stumble. Kofin oto demkor. God, we force him to sell. But when they forbade ana'a from each other, the shneim asurim, they're both asur anyway. Lo haishina de cholhad vehad mizdahar beisure. Right, and each one is going to be careful. Vehen beosen nechasav al atzmo nachtama gufa en kofin otod limkor de davka meshutafim. Now, that answers another point. Let's say you don't have partners. Reuven comes along and says, I forbid myself to have ana'a from Shimon. In that case over there, you don't have to worry about it, Reuven selling anything, because it's only an inyan of partners. Then we're worried about the situation. Because in partners, you're jealous. If Reuven says, I'm not going to have any ana'a from Shimon, Shimon's having ana'a from Reuven. What do you want to do over there? That's not a jealousy factor. But in partners where you feel like you have equal rights, so therefore if one forbids himself, we're going to say, you know what? You're going to get into trouble. So therefore he says to sell. Okay, now look at the Ran. Ran speaks out a point there. V'afil Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov nameh, deshar dikanes lachaser, kofin otol limkor. Now even according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that he allows them to walk. Because then we say retroactive selection, no problem, it belongs to each one. Still, Rabbi Eliezer agrees, sell. Why sell? What's the problem that can come out over here? Let's discuss the guy that didn't make the neder, Shimon, the other partner. Can Shimon put an oven in the... because he's allowed to have an ana'a from Reuven. Reuven forbade himself from Shimon, but Shimon didn't forbid himself from Reuven. Therefore, Shimon's allowed to put an oven in there. So what, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? You can put the oven according to everybody. So what's going to happen? Reuven is going to see Shimon putting the oven in. And what's going to happen? He's going to get jealous. So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, the advice is, Reuven, you made the neder, sell. V'u'eno rasha, yitkanebo, v'yavo la'asotken. Now, v'chi yitem, abishlam al rabanan de'asile, afil b'drisat ha'regel, ikatabat ha'shem yitkanel, lefishu asur b'drisat ha'regel, v'havero mutar, v'em b'yado lemchot. אבל רבי אליעזר בן יעקב, מה אכפת לו בדריסת הרגל? אי הוא נע מישה רביעי מקנא בחברי בעמדת לחיים, לעכב עליה. דא כי אגבנו שתווים יכולים לעכב. Which means, רבי אליעזר, what are you worried about? You're worried about the jealousy factor on the oven. Well, didn't we learn above that Shimon can't put the oven in unless the Reuven gives him permission? So very simple, Reuven, don't give him permission. You see, when it comes to walking through, you don't got to give each other permission to walk through the Chatzer. Good. So therefore, walking through you can't. So therefore, according to Hachem, I understand why you have to sell his Chalik. Because bottom line, according to Hachamim, we don't say retroactive selection. And therefore, bottom line, when the Reuven cannot walk in, Shimon can, he's going to get jealous, fine. Masha'ek, in the case of the Tanur, what are we worried about? According to Rabbi Ezra Yaakov, I'm worried that Shimon might put his Tanur there, the Reuven's going to get jealous, and he's going to also do something. What do you mean? The Reuven, very simple. Don't give him permission. If you don't give him permission, Shimon cannot put his Tanur in there, and therefore, even. That's it. You don't have to have an issue. Walking in, according to Rabbi Ezra Yaakov, is not a problem. I use retroactive selection. But the hana'ah of putting the tanur, that's a legitimate. Don't give permission to do that. So therefore he says, he's not going to do that because it's not nice, let's say, for a partner not to give him permission. So he writes, the kevan de shutafim ki I gavna lo kapde zila bimiltal akebe. It's a zilzul. Reuven's embarrassed. He tell his partner he can't put his oven in there. Which means, especially when he did it himself. So what do you want now? Reuven says, I'm not going to have an hour from Shimon. Now Shimon says, I'm going to put my oven there. You can't. You can't. What did I do to you? I didn't make any nidr. You made the nidr on yourself. So then what's going to end up happening? Shimon's going to put his oven over there. Because Reuven cannot tell him anything. It's not nice. And what's going to end up happening? He's going to see that my partner's using the Hatzer. I'm not using the Hatzer over here. He's going to start using it himself. So if you know what, even if Ezra Yaakov says, sell. Sell your Chelek and know that you're going to get into issues. Mishnah continues. Haya Echad Minashuk. Wait. Haya Echad Minashuk Mudar Be'achat Mehem Hana'a Lo Yikanes Lechaser. Well, now the Mishnah just speaks out another case, which again should be obvious to us. Now we're discussing, you have two partners in the Chatzer. You have a guy on the outside, a third guy, in the street. He made a neder. I am not going to have an a'ah from one of these partners. Let's take, for example, Reuven. So therefore, according to the Hachamim, again, he's not going to be able to walk into this Chatzer. Because I don't go with this retroactive selection over here. Which is obvious. Bottom line, when I'm walking in, at that point, I'm having hana'a from that partner. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov mer yachol lomar lo letok shel haverecha ani nichnas ve'eli nichnas letok shelcha. Even in this case, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, he could say, I'm walking into my friend's section, and I'm not walking in to the Uven section, to the guy that I forbade myself. Now look at the Ran in this case. The Ran is on the 5 lines. 5 lines down. Haya echad min hashuk mudar meechad mem hanaar is lo yikanes lechaser. Hach baba lo tana le mishum tana kama. I don't need this for tana kama, because for tana kama it's pashut. Even two partners that forbid each other, each guy cannot now walk into the chaser. So certainly a third party, when he makes a neder against Reuven, or one of the partners, not going to be able to walk into the field. Right, which means if a person could come along and forbid his own partner from walking into the field, right, when Reuven comes along and says, I'm not going to have a hana'a, and he says, I'm not going to have hana'a. So, Koshkin, on a guy off the street, is me forbidden. Ela lashmina rebutad rebezim Yaakov tanale. De'afidu alahat min hashuk. In shutaf, that's tradush. Even according to Beis Mikdash, he's not a partner, and still he's able to walk into the field. Lefaninu tereid da'ati da'afilu rebutad remanat. Fine. Miu katav rashba zaldedav kakeshu nichnas tzorech shutaf. Right. Which means the only time the guy off the street could walk in, he's got to have a purpose to serve one of the partners. Which means when we have a partnership on a chatzir, doesn't mean stam guys off the street can just walk into my chatzir arbitrarily. It's not a reshut rabim over here. He's, this guy that's walking in has to walk in because you're walking into my private courtyard. So therefore the Rashba speaks that he has to have a reason that he's walking. Either he needs to tell one of the partners something, or the partners need him to tell him something, do something with him. If he's chased karon lechol ahad mehem, will chod mishit tzarik lehem, aval ikanes betuchu ahad mehashuk la'atzmo, shalom tzorek hashuk asur. Shim heknu ze et ze, ta'asid et zet lehem, will chod mishit tzarik lehem, lo knu otu lechol ha'olam.
Just the partners made a deal with themselves. Listen, you can walk in whenever you want. I can walk in whenever you want. But they didn't make a deal between themselves that this guy can walk in from a street whenever he wants. And therefore, according to the Rashi, they're just saying that that which we allowed a guy off the street to walk in, according to the Bnei Ezer and Yaakov, it's only when he has a purpose serving one of the partners or one of the partners need him. So basically, the case was like this. There's no village or whatever, Chatzer. A guy off the street comes over and says, I'm not going to have an A'a from Reuven. So besides him not being allowed to have an A'a from anything that belongs to Reuven, he's also not going to be allowed to walk into the Chatzer according to Hachamim. Because by the way, when he walks in, whose halik is he having an A'a from? Maybe he's having an A'a from Reuven. You have to remember, it's a small Chatzer. And then we don't go with retroactive selection. And then the bottom line, he is having an A'a from one of the partners. And Rabbi Ezra Yaakov says, no, we will go with retroactive selection again. And therefore, bottom line, when the guy off the street walks in, I could say at that point when he walks in, just like, let's say, Shimon has rights to the whole thing when he walks in. So when somebody's coming to give something to Shimon, technically, at that time when he's walking in, it's considered he's walking in for Shimon's purpose. Therefore, the whole thing belongs to Shimon at that point. Therefore, he's not having an A from the other guy that he forbade himself having an A to. The whole field belongs to the other partner at that time when anybody's walking in to serve his purposes. Therefore, you have no problem as well. Come to the Mishnah and continues. That gives another case now. Hamudan and Ha'am Havero. Simple, different case. Totally different case. Guy comes along and says, I'm not going to have an A'af for my friend. The Yeshto Mirchatz Ubet Tabad Muskanim Ba'ir. Let's say Reuven comes along and says, I am not going to have an A'af from Shimon. And Shimon in the city has, let's say, a bathhouse, or he has, let's say, an olive press, and he rents out the olive press to somebody else. So he's not really working in the olive press. He rented it out to somebody else. So the question now, can Reuven go to that bathhouse? Well, it's Shimon's bathhouse, but he's not really working. He rented it out to a third party. So is it considered when he goes to the bathhouse having hana'ah? Because bottom line, I'm going to Shimon's bathhouse, or it's not Shimon's bathhouse anymore. He rented it out to somebody else. So the Mishnah says, "Im yesh lo behem tefisat yad asur, ein lo behem tefisat yad mutar." It depends if Reuven still has a share in the profits, which means if Reuven's making profits, so therefore he's renting it out. But bottom line, he's getting commission on every customer, so therefore it's like his. Therefore, the guy can't walk in because he's getting hana'ah. But let's say he gives it over to him; he's getting a rental. Which means it's a fair price, he's getting $1,000 a month, I don't care how many people use the bathhouse, I don't care if it doesn't, set price. So therefore it's really like the renters, and therefore the fellow that made the deal would be allowed to walk into that bathhouse. Ha'omer l'chaveru, another case, which we had already. The guy tells his friend, Kunam lebetecha she'ani nichnas. Guy comes along and says, I'm forbidding myself from walking into your house. V'sadecha she'ani lo kayah. Right, and I'm not going to benefit. I'm not going to buy your field. Okay, he said betecha sadecha. Met. Now let's say the owner of the house died. Oshimachro lachro. Let's say he sold the field to somebody else. Mutar. Why? Because he said yours. I'm not going to have an house as long as it's yours. Betecha sadecha. So once he sells it, it's no longer his house. It's no longer his field. No problem. However, kunam bayit ze shani nichnas sadezo shani lokeach. But if he doesn't say yours, he just says the house, I'm not going to have an A'af from. The field, I'm not going to have an A'af from. Meto shemecharo la'acher asur. Then already, if he dies, the owner, still asur. Because I didn't forbid myself, as long as he's owning it, I forbid myself from the house itself. I forbid myself from the field itself, and therefore it's going to be asur. So that's an obvious case. The difference between betecha and bayit. The difference between sadecha and sadeh. Okay, now, let's go back down Mishnah for a second, outside. And let's go back to the original case. This is an interesting case because it's talking about each one of the partners forbade himself from his friend's items. That Reuven said, I'm not going to have an A'af from Shimon. She was like, I'm not going to have an A'af from Reuven. So we said in that case over there, the rabbis were strict and they came along. Neither partner could walk into the field because if you don't work with this business of retroactive selection, bottom line, at the time when he's walking into the field, each one's having a hana'ah from his friend's part. And if we don't say, at least according to the Hakamim, we don't say that the whole field, we say, belongs to, although the concept belongs to one of the partners at the time that he walks in,
Ela, each one's having an af from each other. Good. But that's in the case where they did it to themselves. So maybe then the rabbis will penalize each partner because you did it to yourself. Who asked you to make such a crazy neder that you're forbidding yourself to your friend's item? But let's say it was the opposite case. Let's say the other partner forbade his friend from having hana'at on him. Not that Uven said, I'm forbidding myself from Shimon. Shimon said, I'm forbidding the Uven to have hana'at from me. So in that, and then vice versa. Maybe in that case where the Uven didn't do anything wrong, he didn't put himself in the predicament, maybe in that case the rabbis will be lenient and say, you know what? Then you can walk in and no problem. We're not gonna ban you. Maybe we only put a penalty on the Uven. Who asked? Shut open your mouth and forbid yourself against your friend's items. You did it to yourself, so therefore you can't walk into the field. But maybe when Shimon did it to them, when the partners did it to each other, maybe we'll tell the guy, is that Anus? I didn't do anything to my. You can tell me I can't walk into my own field now. So maybe the rabbis will even agree and concede that the partners could walk in. That well, no, how far the rabbis went. So the Gemara starts. Ibailu benadru peligi. Which means, they're talking about benadru, which means each guy made a neder on himself. However, hidiru ze et ze mai. Hidiru ze et ze means, let's say the partners forbade the other ones against each other. Which means it wasn't the Reuven that forbade himself to Shimon, it's Shimon that forbade Reuven from having an ah. In that case, maybe when each guy did it to himself, that's when they have the argument. Aval, then you consider them honest. What do you want from me? I can't walk into my field now. But because my partner forbade me from having an ah, I'm honest. I didn't do it to myself. Maybe the rabbis will be lenient. You can still walk into the field. Or maybe I'll say, listen, there's no difference. Bottom line, I don't care if the Uven forbade himself, or Shimon forbade himself. Bottom line, he has a neder against him. He cannot walk into the field. Regardless, that's the Gemara's case. Good. Which means like this. I want to understand the mechanics of the question. In this question, the assumption is like this. Really, I'll say, Hachamim hold this concept of selection. They hold this retroactive selection business. And really, in a case, even when one of the partners forbids himself from having Anah from Shimon, technically he should be able to walk into the field. Why? Because retroactively, I'll say that at the time that he walks in the field really belongs to him at that point. And if he's not having Anah from Shimon. And the same thing as well. Really, I could say the rabbis will hold Yesh Bereira. Also, why did they forbid the Uven to walk into the field? Because they were knast him. They put a knas on him. They put a penalty on him. What are you making a neder like that for? Against you? Forbidding yourself? Now we're going to tell you, from knas you cannot walk in. But maybe the rabbis only put the knas when the partner did it to himself. But when his other partner did it, maybe we go back to the regular rule, Yesh Bereira. And therefore, when he's walking into the field, bottom line, it's considered his at that point. You understand? I want you to understand how the selection works over here. The field is a small field, like the Gemara is going to conclude. That's why I'm giving you a coin to the Gemara's maskana. Who owns this field? The partners on this Hatzir. Okay, the Uven, let's say, said, I'm not going to have an af from my partner. At this point, we're going to say, you know what? Halachically, everybody holds the Uven can walk into this Hatzir. You know why? Because when he walks into this Hatzir, I'm going to say at that point it's considered his Hatzir. Because since it's so small, so at the time that they made the Kinyan on the Chatzir, they said, us, whenever each one of us walks in, it's yours at that point. We just don't know when he's going to walk in. So the selection is really on the time, not on the... Everybody agrees that they made that that's given, that at the time that they bought the field, these two partners, it was assumed that whenever each one walks in, it's theirs. It's just that we don't know whenever that is. We don't know when that time is. So what selection does to me over here, Bereira says, that at that time, when Reuven decides to walk in, I say that time was selected retroactively. That's the time that they decided that Reuven's going to own the field. And at this point, the Gemara is assuming that, you know what? Maybe the rabbis really hold Yesh Bereira. And even when Reuven, let's say, forbade himself from Shimon, he'll agree to be as a Yaakov from the Hanacha. He can really walk in. So why did the Mishnah say he can't walk in? Because the rabbis put a knas on Reuven. Because you opened your big mouth and you said you're not having enough from Shimon. What did you do that for? So you know what? You can't walk into the field. But it's knas. But maybe they only knasted when he did it to himself. But let's say when Shimon said, Reuven, you cannot have an'ah from me.
In that case over there, no problem. Reuven can still walk because he's not having an anaa. Because you say bereira, at the time that Reuven walks into the chatzer, it's considered all his because retroactive selection. Therefore, no problem. Or maybe the rabbi said, you know what? They all say it on all cases, even though halachically it should be permissible. The rabbis will say it whether Reuven made it on himself or even if this Shimon did it to himself. We want to know how far did the rabbis go in this case. So comes the Gemara and comes along and says, which means like this, on the other side of the question is, if the rabbis hold in Bidira, if the rabbis hold in Bidira, there's no difference between whether Reuven did it himself or his partner did it to him. Mm-hmm. Again, now there's two, I want you to hear the two sides of this question. It's very nice. There's two ways of learning how Mishnah comes out. What's the reason why the rabbis forbade Reuven to walk into the field? Either could, because he made an idiot against his partner, but so what? One reason could be because he holds, they hold in bidira. You don't go with retroactive selection. And therefore what? Since bottom line, when Reuven's walking in, I don't say that retroactively was selected at that point when he walks in, it's going to be his, because that's the only way you can make it all the Reuven's. You got to retroactively say at the time they went partners on it, we assume. Because they did make a stipulation at the time that they bought it, because it was a small field. So the stipulation was, this, whenever one of us walks in, you're the sole owner. And the other guy said, whenever you walk in, you're the sole owner. But the time when they're going to walk in was not established yet. So retroactive selection has to say that at the time Reuven walked in, we have to assume that was the time that they had in mind at the beginning. Well, if Hachim don't subscribe to that whole business of retroactive selection, I don't care who made the nidder against each other. Whether Reuven made it to Shimon or Shimon made it against Reuven, what's the difference? Bottom line, Reuven's having a hana'ah. But I can learn this. I can see that maybe really the rabbis hold yesh benera. You go retroactive selection. So why then when Reuven makes an edit against Shimon, can he walk in? Knas. Maybe I'll only make the knas when Reuven did it himself. But when Shimon did it to his partner, maybe I'll say, well, who you know or said me? Well, and I can't walk into my field, you're telling me? In that case, the rabbis will go according to the law and they'll work with benera. So it depends how you learn the reason of the hakamim. If you say they hold in Bereira, there's no difference in who made the neder. Whether Reuven made it against Shimon or Shimon made it against Reuven. Which is either Reuven forbade himself from Shimon or Shimon forbade Reuven from himself. Either way, it's going to be asked in Bereira. But if you say yesh Bereira, maybe they only enforced yesh Bereira. Maybe they only enforced the Isur when Reuven did it himself because they knassed him. But Mashiach, when his partner forbade him from walking in, well, I work with Bereira. Bottom line, when I walk in retroactive selection, it should be okay. So the Gemara says, again, Ibayelu. Maybe when each guy did it to himself, so we want to bring a ra'ya. Haya echad, proof from our Mishnah. Haya echad me mudar ana'a mechavero. That was one of the cases of our Mishnah. One of the partners was mudar ana'a from his friend. What does mudar ana'a mean? Mudarana, I mean, he was forbidden to have an'a from his friend. Normally that means, if I'm the mudar, that means somebody forbade me. And that's the way we learn, that's the way they're learning the Mishnah. Ayam mudarana, that means, you have Reuven and Shimon are partners in a chatzir. He didn't do it himself. He was mudar, that means Shimon forbade him. And what did it say in the Mishnah? And the rabbi still said in that case, Reuven cannot walk into the field. So you see what? They're arguing even in a case where they didn't forbid themselves, but they were forbidden by the partner. It means obviously the Achamim hold and Bereira, and therefore it doesn't matter. So Gemara says, no, Tani Nadur Mehavero Hana'a. Change like the text of the Mishnah. Instead of calling the guy a Mudar, call him a Nadur. Nadur means he's the one himself that made the Nidir. So I could doctor up the Mishnah and learn the case to him where he did it to himself. The Gemara says, it makes sense to learn the Mishnah that way, that he did it to himself. You know why? What do we say in that case? When one of the partners makes a neder, he's got to sell his share to the other partner because we're worried about the jealousy factor, right? Now, makes sense. If he did it himself, okay, so he did it himself, so now sell your portion to your partner. But if he was just forbidden by his friend, what do you want to force him to sell for? I didn't do anything wrong. And they, what did I do? My Shimon came along and said, Reuven, you cannot have an hour for my chelik. Okay, then we forced Reuven to sell? What did I do? I knew nothing. My friend opposed. If I did it to myself, I said, I cannot have an hour from Shimon. Like, listen, now you're putting yourself in a predicament. You know what? Sell. So therefore, from the fact that the Mishnah told sell, so therefore I have an ayat that the Mishnah was talking about a case where he did it himself. So therefore, basically, this question was not answered. It's left in abeyance. Again, Sheila was, how far were the rabbis going? We don't know. We for sure know they were discussing a case where he did it himself. We want to know, is it even, we tried to bring, even if, let's say his partner did it to him, we want to bring him a ayah from our Mishnah. We couldn't bring a ayah from our Mishnah. So we're back to the question, what is the deen? The Mishnah does not answer it. Okay. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Amar Rava Amar Ze'iri. And now we're going to learn the case that we're discussing, which we learned this already. Mahloket b'shiyesh ba kedei haluka. At this point, the Mishnah is, we have to discuss what type of hatser are we talking about. I told you the answer already. We're talking about a small hatser. But now we're going to get to that now. How do we know we're talking about a small chatzir or a big chatzir? So the first rabbi comes along and says, the machloket is actually talking about chiyesh ba kedei haluka. The machloket is where it's a big field, where it's a big chatzir. Mm-hmm. Now, let's discuss the dynamics of a big chatzir. Mm-hmm. Big chatzir is humongous, let's say. It's, 20 amot. So technically, it's divisible. Each guy technically can do with half of the field. After the chatzir. You don't have to assume that when each guy walks in, he's owning the whole thing. Because technically there's enough to split it. So if I don't have to assume that each guy is giving me the full rights to the... So in that case, I'll say that there's a machloket. I understand Hakamim. Hakamim are obvious. Because Hakamim will say, listen, bottom line, when I forbid myself from Shimon, when I'm walking into the field, who says I'm walking? Maybe I'm having an hour from Shimon's part. Because Bob, it's divisible. I mean, you don't go with retroactive selection in the case where each guy has half a field. Because technically, what? When I'm walking into the Hatzid itself, I'm having an af from part of Shimon's property. Right? Because it's not decided who owns what. We're just partners. So the Hakim says, so what's the logic going to be? There's a Ben Yaakov, according to this logic. He's going to say that even in a big Hatzid, you go with retroactive selection. The bottom line, when I walk in, it's mine for that time for walking in. Even in a big field, which is hard to understand in that case, because technically there was enough. Why do I have to have the whole chatzir? Technically, he owns half and I own him. Still, according to this version, even on a big chatzir, Rabbi Ezmin Yaakov was lenient. The bottom line, when Reuven says, I'm not going to have an hour from Shimon, Reuven can walk into the field, because using retroactive selection, I'll say, at the time that I'm walking in, he's walking into his own field. That's how far he wants to go. Okay. Right. Good. Right. He doesn't care. He doesn't make a difference between a big chatzir and a small chatzir. However, according to this version, on a small one, everyone says it's mutar. Even the rabbis are going to say mutar. Because on a small field, a small chatzir, you have to assume everybody knew that, listen, at the time that each one's going to walk in, what do you want to do over here? You have to give the guy, you have to give it to him. Because there's not enough for two guys to use it at the same time. So basically, I'm using retroactive selection. Right. I bet you're going to ask me a question, but the rabbis don't go with retroactive selection. Mm. But this is a little different type of retroactive selection over here. I'm going to explain you the difference over here. That even the rabbis who generally hold en bereira, according to this version, they'll say it's okay when the field's small. Even though you have to use some sort of bereira, I'll tell you why. You know what the type of bereira the rabbis were against? The rabbis were against the bereira. For example, let's say a guy is married to two wives. Both of their names are Rachel. Okay? So he comes along and he tells a sofer, write a get for Rachel. He doesn't say which one. He doesn't write a get for Rachel. One of the laws of a get is the sofer has to write it for the sake of the one that's getting divorced. So the Sofer writes, you know, so-and-so is getting divorced from Rachel. Then later on, the husband says, it was that one. So now, using retroactive selection, it's okay. That means when he told the Sofer to write for Rachel, retroactively I say he had that one in mind. Okay, so you're creating the get right now is Pasul Teku. I don't know who it's written for. Using retroactive, I'm trying to now establish the validity of the get. Otherwise, the get is Pasul. Correct? Then the rabbis say, in Birra. You got to say at the time. You can't now leave it open and then say later on that that's what he meant. That is a classic case of Birra as well. This case over here, let's speak it out. When you have a small field, I'm not using Birra on the stipulation, so to speak, because it's obvious since it's a small Hatzer. At the time that they bought the Hatzer together, can't you fairly assume that they made a deal? Listen, when you walk in, it's all yours. Shimon, when you walk in, it's all yours. Because it's such a... That I don't need retroactive selection for. Because it's such a small chatzir, it's obvious that that was the deal. What are you selecting over here? Just the time. The time is unknown. I don't know when Reuven's going to walk in. I don't know when Shimon's going to walk in. That's open. Geez, the actual stipulation itself of that the ownership is all of the Uvens when he walks in and all of Shimon when he walks in, that exists from the beginning. I don't even bid it out for that. That's fact. That's considered given. It's just that I don't know what time the Uven's going to walk in. Therefore, what do I have to say? When the Uven walks in, I say retroactively, when they made that stipulation at the beginning that it's all the Uven's, retroactively they meant at 4:27 when he walked in. So when I'm only selecting the time, but not the actual person, like, it's the chayil. That's already, the whole selection is done at that point. Which lady's being divorced? That's not just a detail in the select. That's the actual selection itself. There the rabbi said, in b'nidah. But where the item was selected already, you just need to select the time that was going to be, which was the unknown. Then the rabbis will agree there is b'nidah. That's why, according to this version, when the field is chatzer is small, even the rabbis will say, Reuven can walk in. I speak to that again. The chatzer is a small field, right? Two partners, Reuven and Shimon. According to this version, in this case over here, Reuven said, I am not going to have an av from Shimon. Hakamim are going to say, Reuven can walk into the field. Everybody's having an av from Shimon. He's not having an av from Shimon. When he walks in, it's his field. It's his chatzer. As well as Shimon. When Shimon made the same nidr, I'm not having enough from Reuven, Shimon can walk into the chatzir. Are we having enough? No, you're not having enough. When you're walking, it's all yours. That you're going to use selection. Why? Because it's obvious at the time that they went partners, that's the stipulation they made. That when you walk in, it's all yours, and when I walk in, it's all mine. What do you need selection? Where would selection come in, Bidirah come in that point? I just don't know the time that's going to kick in. When you walk in, well, that's an unknown. Because right now we're partners, but when nobody's walking in the field, it's partners, by the way. It's just that, when is that condition activated retroactively? When he steps in at 4:27, oh, now we say, oh, retroactively that condition was made, that at 4:27 it's going to belong to the event. So since you're not activating the actual condition, it's just a time of when it's going to, then the rabbis will concede, according to this version, it's okay. When do they say in Birra? When you're selecting the whole item. Guy comes along and says, I'm divorced. He tells the Sofer, right for Rachel. Which Rachel? Unknown in totality. We don't know which Rachel. Then later on he comes along and says, okay, Rachel number one. There, that you're relying on mamash, retroactive selection. At the time the Sofer wrote the gate, it's open ticket. Which Rachel? So you want to say it was Lishma, because we'll say retroactive, he meant the one he said now. That's relying on Birra in totality. That's the way Rava understands. Therefore, according to Rava's version, Mahlok was in a big field. Because in a big field, the rabbi is going to say, you don't go with that's mamash Birra, because bottom line, why do I have to assume that each, at the time of the partnership, that each one is giving full rights to his friend? You don't have to give full rights to his friend. It's a big chassid. Each one has enough for himself. So therefore, you want to come along and say retroactively, when the Uven walked in, the whole field belonged to the Uven. You don't have to say that in that case. Therefore, when he's walking, he's having an af from Shimon, and vice versa. Mashe'enker, according to the next version. The next version says like this. There's a question on this. Amale Rabbi Yosef. Are bet keneset? Okay. How will you look at a synagogue? Dechemi she'en bo kedeh halukah dameh. A synagogue, which is a public property, that you look at as a small property. You look at it as a property that's not enough for each person. Now, why do you look at it like that? Right, I guess because everybody's able to use it. You're not dividing it amongst anybody. It's each guy in the city has technically a little portion of the synagogue. It's called like a public property where each one has a hana'a. So therefore, you consider it as like a small hased. Of course, we're going to divide it's not divisible. Each guy in the community is going to get one amma of the shul. You can't say that. The shul is considered public property, and therefore it's like a small property for each. Each person has a little piece of it. Not enough, obviously, to benefit from that little piece. And what is the law? Vitnan, we learned regarding the synagogue. Shnehem asurim bedavar shel ota ir. Which means, let's say, Reuven makes a hana'a, he comes on, neder, he says, I'm not going to have any hana'a from anything that belongs to Shimon. Reuven cannot walk in the synagogue now. Because Baal Shimon has a piece of the synagogue. All right, but the synagogue is really a small item. So I thought we said on small items, even the rabbis agree, that if you go with retroactive selection, well, I'll say that when Reuven's walking into the synagogue, at that point it's considered all his, technically, because each one has to have, it's not enough to go around for the whole thing. But if you say that it's still asur, that means the rabbis are osir even when the item is small. So therefore you're learning the machloket the wrong way. So the Gemara says, you're right. You know how to learn the machloket? Ela Amar of Yosef Amar Zahiri. This is why we learned initially. Machloket she'en ba kedeh halukah. The machloket between a banana bidi ezer is even when it's a small field. Aval yesh ba kedeh halukah devre hakol asur. Which is now we're changing the version. This is the bottom line that we're learning. When it's big, everybody says asur. And that makes more sense. Because when it's big, there's enough for the Uvent of his half. There's enough for Shimon of his half. I'm not going to say retroactively when the Uvent, I'm not going to have enough from Shimon. When he walks in, it's his whole. Why does that have to be his whole? Why should he have his whole? There was enough for him to have his half. There's enough for him to have his half. So bottom line, I'm walking in, I'm having an af from Shimon. Mashiach, when it's small, they'll have the machlok. The Bid is going to say, even when it's small, in that case, I'll say it's mutar. Why? Because then you could say when it's small, if you work a retroactive selection, I say what? That when Reuven walks in, it was his at that time. Hakamim are going to say, no. Even in that case, using retroactive selection, bottom line, it is going to be asur. So in a small chatzer, machloket, in a big chatzer, devre hakol asur. Gemara says now, bottom line, maravuna, alaka, kribid ezim yaakov, vechir amar bil azar, alaka, kribid ezim yaakov. That what? In a small one, mutar, which really is saying, and this is the big ran over here, and I think I explained this to you already, but I'm going to say it again, which is really saying, yesh berera. Only problem is, we know that we posek in berera. So how could the Gemara come out of here with a landmark ruling, yesh berera, but we know throughout Shas, you don't go retroactive selection. So I set you up already with this interpretation. It's not a classic berera over here. It's only a berera on the time. But it's not a berera on the actual situation itself. So in a quasi berera like this, we'll hold like to be Ezer ben Yaakov. But like in a regular berera, like the case of the two girls getting get with Rachel, that already in berera. The case of the animal, where I didn't designate an animal before Yom Tov. Right? Yeah. So I'm not going to say, now that I took the animal out of my herd, I'm going to say, that's the animal that was designated for Shaita. No, no, that's already totally retroactive selection. Here, no. The selection already was automatic that whoever's going to walk in owns the field. That I'm not selecting that. That's done. I'm just selecting when it's going to be activated. In such a quasi-bidira, we can go like to be the Ezer ben Yaakov. But in regular cases, in a chenameh, in bidira. Comes the Mishnah and continues. What do we say in the Mishnah? Reuven says, I'm not going to have an af from Shimon. Good. Only problem is Shimon has a bathhouse that he owns in the city. So the question is, can Reuven go to the bathhouse? Well, to go to the bathhouse, Vaday is asur. By the way, he's having an afram. Shimon. Only problem is Shimon rented it out to somebody else. So now the question is, when he rents it out to somebody else, is that considering having an afram from Shimon? Shekhmas says, depends. Does Shimon still have profits? Tivisat yad. If Shimon's making profits, how would he make profits? For every customer that walks into the bathhouse, Shimon gets a vig. He gets a percentage. So therefore, bottom line, even though he rented it out, I'm still connected. It's my bathhouse, Shimon's bathhouse. So therefore, cannot go to the bathhouse. But the Mishnah, if he has no vig, so then it's mutah. So the Gemara wants to, how much percentage does he have to get that's considered significant that he's still a partner, let's say. So it says, v'kama tefisat yad, amarafman, le'me'asal eshalishu rabiyah. I don't care if it's 50% partner, 30% partner, 25% partner. That's considered already. He's still connected to Reuven. Can I go to the bathhouse? About the Betzir, lo. But less than that, less than 25%, according to this opinion, that's not a significant partnership that he's considered the ownership, and therefore it's no problem. Abaye Amar Afidu Bebetzir Asur. He comes in, I don't like it. Even if it's 1%, bottom line, you're still getting a vig from every customer that walks in. Bottom line is considered Shimon's. Yeah. Reuven will not be able to go to the bathhouse. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hechi Dameh Deshari. So what's the case called Dameh that it's permissible? So it says, the Mikabel Betaska. Where what? He gave him a set price for his lease, which means he told him, listen, I'm charging you, I'm going to rent you my bathhouse. Right? Shimon's telling a third party. $1,000 a month. I don't care if there's 10,000 customers. I don't care if there's two customers. I'm getting the set thousand. Then already, since all the profits belong to the renter, and he's just getting a set a rent, so then the rent is really considered the renters. So there, the Uven says, I'm not having any from Shimon. He can go to the bathhouse. Because bottom line, it's not considered Shimon's. Because since he's not getting any benefit besides the set price of the rent, then it would be considered permissible. So that's mahloket amongst the achemim. One wants to say, no, less than 25%, that's not considered a significant partnership. Other one says, what do you mean? Even the 1%. Bottom line, you're getting benefit from Shimon's asset. Therefore, has to come along and say it's about taskat. Taskat means I could say set price, and therefore, then it's a total rental ship, rental, and therefore, you have no problem.